Open your Bibles to the book of Job, the 37th chapter, Job chapter 37. Your Schofield Reference Bible, please turn to page 593. Job 37, page 593 in your Schofield Bible, and we'll be reading a couple of verses on this page. We'll turn the page after a while and read a couple more. We'll read first verses 10 and 11, and we'll just read these verses in unison. Stand, please, as is our custom here at First Baptist, for the reading of the Word of God. And are you ready? Begin with me, verse 10 and verse 11. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breadth of the waters is straightened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud. Turn now to verse 21 and 22 of the same chapter. And let's read those verses together. Ready? And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north, with God is terrible majesty. The text for the verse is taken from those first words of verse 21, and now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds. Let's pray. Father, this is certainly a good church, a great church, and thank you for the dear people, the faithful people, the loyal people of this church who support this church and all of its ministries and its workings. Of course, we need good, loyal people. We're thankful, too, for those who visit with us. We pray for those. We pray for each one, because each one represents a particular and a peculiar need. Now, that's a tall order to fill, to meet the needs of so many people. But Thou art our God, and Thou dost know us individually. Our needs are not unknown to Thee. And so we pray that Thou wouldst bless with Thy power today, that we might not go away empty. Fill with Thy Spirit our preacher and grant an outpouring of Thy blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody can sing with that trumpet playing behind it? Yeah, have her play while I preach, if you don't mind. I want to take one little line. You don't have to turn to it again. That little line Brother Colston read for us a while ago. Men see not the bright light which is in the clouds. That's my title of my sermon and my text this morning. I want you to listen to me carefully. I only have 30 minutes or so on Sunday morning, maybe 35, maybe 40, maybe 45, maybe 50. But, and then usually about 40 minutes or 45 on Sunday night. And I want you to please, every time I stand here, I want you to listen carefully. This morning I'm going to give you something I really believe will help you, so I want you to follow me carefully. Men see not the bright light which is in the clouds. That's not what you think it means. I think you'll be surprised when I tell you what it means. Our Heavenly Father, more than I want to live, I want to be a blessing to my people. If I thought this morning that my homegoing would be best for my people, I would be happy to volunteer to lay down in this altar and expire this morning. 35 years I've tried to be what they need. I want to be this morning again what they need. Help me as I speak and speak through me to them, please. Please, I beg you. And may they listen intently and carefully. In Jesus' name, amen. it said, men see not the bright light in the clouds. God is saying something like this. He's saying everybody wants crops. He's saying to his people, look at me now, everybody look right this way. No talking, no note taking, look right this way. He's saying to his people, you want crops. You want a plenteous harvest. You want prosperous lives. You want fruitful fields. But he reminds them that before there can come the harvest, the fruitful fields, the plenteous harvest, the big crops and good crops, must come rain. Never has been a good crop harvested without water. You've got to have the rain. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Whether it's sowing a life, sowing a wheat field, whatever it is, it must be watered. And so God reminds them that if they pray for rain, if they pray for harvest, they're also praying for rain. But listen to this. He said, that's fine, but I want to remind you what accompanies rain. Lightning. That's what it means when it says, men see not the bright light which is in the clouds. They want the harvest, but there must come the rain. But along with the rain, there come several things that are not comfortable. God says, lightning comes with the rain, which brings the harvest. Darkness comes with the clouds, which bring the rain, which bring the harvest. Clouds come with the rain, which brings the harvest. Storms come with the rain, which brings the harvest. Tornadoes often accompany the rain, which brings the harvest. Hurricanes often accompany the clouds and the rain, which brings the harvest. Strong winds often accompany the clouds, the rain, which brings the harvest. And what God is saying here, he's saying men want the harvest. They want the grain. They want the barley. They want the wheat. They want the corn. But if you have the corn and the wheat and the barley and the harvest, you've got to have the rain. But he said, what you don't understand is you're not going to have any harvest without rain. You're not going to have any rain without the bright light in the clouds. That's the lightning. I hate lightning. I hate it. I run from it. I don't ever hold on to a piece of metal. Well, and you don't get under a tree or near a window. I always get under the bed. But God is saying here, men want the harvest. And they want the rain, but they don't want the lightning and the storms that accompany the rain which brings the harvest. Let me give you a story. My good friend Dallas Dobson, one of my dearest friends. Dallas Dobson was a highway patrolman, I think, in the state of Georgia, anyway, down south somewhere, big guy. One time, weighed over 400 pounds, almost as big as Tom Neal. But at one time, And I mean a gruff kind of fellow. I mean a kind of guy that you'd think would be a state patrolman. Kind of guy that ought to be guarding these truck drivers over here all the time. God saved that big old bruiser and called him to preach. He went to Tennessee Temple, pardon the expression, back when there was no Hiles Anderson College, and under Dr. Robertson, and got his education. He decided to go to Seattle, Washington. He ran out of gasoline. Hey, that's the girl out there. Her dad's his co-pastor. And ran out of gasoline and money in a little place called Pasco, Washington, several hours this side of Seattle. So he decided he didn't have any gasoline, didn't have any money, but to stop and start a church there in Pasco. He's going to start one in Seattle. And that's why he started the church in Pasco. If you can't get to Seattle, start one in Pasco. Now, Dallas Dobson told me this. He said that I said to God, whatever the price, don't leave me now, whatever the price, I'm willing to pay it for my ministry to be fruitful. Then came the harvest. Then came that church growing to 100 and 200 and 300 and 400. Now it's not unusual for 2,000 people. Largest fundamental Baptist church, the largest fundamental church of any kind. Well, of course, you got to be Baptist to be fundamental, but the largest fundamental church of any kind west of the Rocky Mountains. I mean, nothing in California that big. And 2,000 people in Pasco, Washington, where there's nothing but desert and tumbleweeds and Dallas Dobson. With the harvest, and the harvest came. With the harvest came the storms, the rain. With the rain came the lightning, and the storms, and the clouds, and the winds, and the darkness. For Dallas Dobson got cancer. We thought many times we were going to lose him to heaven. He fought and kept on fighting, and his good man, the Paisley, his co-pastor, did much of the preaching and stood faithfully beside him. Dallas Dobson had to have a kidney removed. And much of his, in fact, a big hole in his side here where he had serious cancer surgery. I'm saying you don't have the harvest without the rain. You don't have the rain without the storms. So that's your problem. Some of you preacher boys at Howells Anderson College, you want to have a great harvest someday, and you want to have a great rain someday to bring that harvest, but you don't want any lightning. You want no dangerous winds. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? No, no, I must fight if I would gain. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil and endure the pain, supported by thy word. Dallas Dobson came through it, got back on his feet, became, I think, what he used to be, on top again. The old Dallas Dobson got where he wanted to fight some more. And then the lightning struck. His wife began to lose her memory. She began to have headaches. Took her to the doctor. MRIs, CAT scans, X-rays, a big tumor around the brain stem. Operated, was not malignant, but they couldn't get all of the tumor because it was circling the brain stem. She got over her surgery as far as her life being threatened is concerned. But now for these 6-8 months, if she doesn't have something to sedate her, she'll sit there and her arm, hands just go up like that. She'll lose her memory. She'll think she's done something she hasn't done or hasn't done what she has done. And she's hardly ever able to go to church. It broke the old man's heart. The fellow who could take the kidney surgery, you know what I'm talking about. I can take most anything till it affects my family. Dallas Dobson sat in his office with tears streaming down his cheeks, and he's not the kind of fellow that cries a lot. And he said, Brother Hiles, this has broken me. And then he made a statement. I'll never forget it. He said, if I had it to do over again, I don't know if I'd make that promise to God I made years ago. I did not know when I said, whatever the price to build a great work here, whatever a price to reach this part of the state of Washington, this great tri-city area, I said, dear God, whatever the price. He said, and he was serious. And Dallas Dobson's the kind of fellow that tells you what he believes. He doesn't tell you what he doesn't believe. He always tells you all he believes. Frank kind of a guy. If his wife walked up and said, hey, I like this dress. If he didn't like it, he'd say it stinks. That's the kind of guy he is. You get what you see. And you see what you get. Dallas Dobson folded and cried, and he'll hear this tape, and I love him with all my heart. He said, Brother Hiles, I don't know. If I had that prayer to pray over again, whatever it takes, I don't know if I'd pray that prayer again. I was shocked. I went back to my room that night, the motor hotel where I was staying, called the Red Lion Inn. And I couldn't forget. The truth is, my faith was a little bit shaken in Dallas Dobson. I mean, what is he talking about? He wants to reach this area, whatever the price is. And I couldn't sleep, and I stayed up into the night. And I faced reality. And I said to myself, I wonder if I would. I wonder if I would. Because on May 11, 1950, after praying all night long in the woods of East Texas, the piney thickets and the sand hills of East Texas, I fell on my face and I begged God for His power. And I said, Dear God, whatever the price is for Your power, I'm willing to pay it. Within 4 hours, I got a phone call. Man said, My name is Smith. Is this Reverend Hiles? I said, This is Brother Hiles. He said, Your alcoholic dad just dropped dead with a heart attack. And I fell on my face. And I said, God, I didn't mean this. I didn't mean my daddy to go to hell. I didn't mean this. I made that statement one other time, July of 1984, in a motel room in Nederland, Texas. One little phone call. And I fell on my face in the room before I went to preach that night. And I said, God, I didn't mean this. I had no idea this is what it would take. But I want to remind you this morning, you're not going to have the harvest without the rain. And you're not going to have the rain without the clouds. And you're not going to have the clouds without the lightning and the thunder and the winds and the tornadoes sometimes and the hurricanes and the storms. I'm trying to tell you, if you want to live a fruitful life, you're going to have the rain. If you have the rain, you're going to have the storm. You're going to have the lightning. So if this morning you're going through the storm, just say, well, bless God, the harvest is on the way. Don't forget that when you pray for the harvest, you're praying for rain. You don't know that sometimes. Oh, God, give me a good harvest. Oh, God, give me a good harvest. Oh, God, give me a good harvest. Now, you don't know you're praying for the harvest. What you don't know is that you also are praying for rain. And what you don't know is that you're also praying for storms. And what you don't know is you're also praying for lightning. And what you don't know is you're also praying for wind. I don't know what it's going to take. It may take your eye being taken out and a glass eye put in. It may take that. It may take a Mrs. Evans having cancer. It may take Judge Clement back here having cancer. It may take a wife taken by some awful disease. It may take a little child lying as a vegetable this morning, like this young couple has at home today. I don't know what it'll take. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You'll never have a harvest till you have rain. You'll never have rain till you have clouds. You'll never have clouds till you have storms and lightning and wind. You'll never do it. I'm simply saying this morning, don't be surprised if you want God to use you if the storms come. You say, Brother Hiles, the storms haven't come for me yet. They're on the way. I mean, the hurricanes are circling now 50 miles off your coast. And I'll promise you this. You young men on the platform, God is using you, and God's going to use you mightily. But I promise you this, the storms are on the way. They're going to come. I recall when I was your age, Brother Jeff, I recall storms had not begun to come except in my daddy's death. This church will baptize, by the grace of God, 10,000 people this year. I haven't got time to tell you all the storms it took. I don't have time to tell you the streaking of lightning it's taken. This church will soon reach 800,000 people walk down these aisles in the last 35 or 36 years. And if God will let me live another few years, we'll have 1 million people who walk down the aisle at First Baptist Church receiving Christ as Savior. Never has happened. But I want to tell you something. You'd like to have that, but you haven't got the foggiest idea. The storm. I've been through. She's been through. I said to myself in the wee hours of the morning in Pasco, I can't condemn Dr. Dobson. I don't know. I have to be honest. If I had known what I was praying on May 11, 1950, I don't know whether I'd pray that prayer again or not. I wish I would. But my daddy, and all these battles, and all the tears we've shed. But my Bible said, when you sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. In just a few minutes, you'll see these aisles flooded with people coming to Christ and accepting Him as Savior. You'll hear heaven rejoice as in your mind you understand what's going on. And God will have a spell up in glory, and the angels will shout, and Jesus will see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. But I want to tell you, the harvest you'll see after a while came because of rain. The rain came with the clouds, came with the rain. The storms came with the clouds. The lightning came with the storm. The winds came with the storm. Tornadoes have howled, and hurricanes have come. I'm trying to tell you this morning, if you're going through the storms of life, praise God, the harvest is on the way. Let me tell you something sad. Years ago in Texas, we had a drought. You've never seen a drought. We used to call them droughts. They call them drought now, don't they? I call it when it don't rain. But we had, you've never seen a drought till you've seen one in Texas. Folks, I was driving down a highway, preaching in a little town called Freer, Texas. We hadn't had rain. The ground was cracked open. I'm not kidding. And you folks from Texas know this is true. You could put your hand, and sometimes you could put your foot in cracks in the ground. I heard cattle croaking. I heard them croaking. I saw them eating cactus, and that's why they were croaking. They're eating cactus. You never saw no harvest, no grain for them to eat because it had no rain. For weeks and weeks and weeks it was that way. Folks prayed for rain. I had Chief Hootahaha come and do a rain dance. And we tried everything. I'll never forget that day. The announcer said, rain expected in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this afternoon. And boy, it's flat down there. They don't have trees, they have bushes down there. They call them trees, but they're just little bushes. And when a storm comes up, they call them northers in the wintertime. When a storm comes up, you can see that rascal coming. It is a horrible looking sight. And I looked down the southwest toward the Brownwood area. I saw this big storm coming, and they said, rain is on the way. And man, all of a sudden I looked up and I saw a funnel cloud. And I got up on top of the house so I could see it real well. I could see that funnel cloud coming. And then the announcement came. We have a tornado alert. A tornado has been spotted southwest of Dallas, about 50 miles on its way to Dallas and Garland. I was in Garland. And that tornado touched down over in West Dallas and destroyed a lot of homes. And the wind scared all of us to death. And the black cloud and the lightning and the winds and the tornado. But no rain. I saw grown farmers put their heads in their hands and weep when the cloud had passed away and the sky had cleared again. I saw grown farmers sobbing uncontrollably. No crops. No income. Family needs food. What will we do?
That big cloud and that big tornado and the lightning and the destruction and the heavy winds and all of that, all for nothing. Oh, oh, oh. The same thing is happening in this room this morning. Some of you are going through the storms of life all for nothing. You're not reaping a thing. I mean, the purpose of the rain, brother, is to reap the harvest. What a sad thing it is to go through heartache. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if that little couple here with that little boy 2 years of age, a vegetative state for all these months, ever since the month of March, wouldn't it be a terrible thing if it never rained and they had no harvest out of their life? Bless God, I've been through some storms in my life. I've felt the hard winds of hurricane force. I've felt the tornadoes. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've been struck by lightning spiritually and in my soul time and time again. But praise God, the storms were not in vain. The harvest came. How sad for a Christian to suffer the lightning and the strong winds and the darkness and the storms with no harvest. This morning, if God has placed you in a storm, if the lightning is flashing around you and the thunder is roaring, and if the winds, blustering winds, are coming toward you and you're having a hard time facing life, you dread to get up tomorrow and you're underneath the storms of life and the tornadoes and hurricanes and the clouds of life, in God's name, don't just sit there and take it. Go out and get your bus route. Go out and build your Sunday school class. Knock on doors and get people saved. I'm saying use the storm to bring the harvest. God said, men see not the bright light in the clouds. I don't know how often Jack Scott has told me this, our son-in-law. He said, "Preacher, we've not had anything like that. Both of my parents are alive and well. Cindy's parents are nearly alive. Cindy's parents are alive and well. Our children are both healthy. We've not had anything like that. If God uses him like I think he's going to, he will. He will. If God uses these men like he's using them now, and as their ministries unfold with years to come, when the old man's playing tag with the angels, if God uses these young men on the platform like I think he's going to use them, they're going to see some funnel clouds down the way coming toward them. And they're going to feel the winds of adversity, the pain of heartbreak, and sorrow, and sadness. And they're not going to want it any more than I wanted it. And they're not going to enjoy it any more than I've enjoyed it. And they're going to pull their coats around them when the winds of adversity come. And they're going to say, "Dear God, please, if you could, let this cup pass from me." Somebody else said that one time. God's going to say, "I don't want to do this. But if I have a harvest, I've got to have rain. If I have rain, there's got to be winds, there's got to be clouds. But I want to tell you, fellas, when you get 68 years old, you look back over a life of storms, and you see the harvest. I mean, brother, the old wagons come in with the bundles of hay on them. And the trees yield their fruit, ripe and delicious. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. I think I'll just keep on running the race till we see Christ. They prayed for rain, harvest. They prayed for rain. But they didn't see the white light in the clouds. They didn't even project that lightning has to come. Storms have to come. I sat here this morning and I watched your faces, and I, as I say often, there's no place I could look without seeing that somebody I know has a broken heart. I know you. I know your pain. I know your heartache. I know your sorrow. Two things I want to say in closing, and I've said them before this morning. Two things. Number one, when you're praying for the harvest, don't be surprised when the rain comes. And when the rain comes, don't be surprised if wind accompanies it. And if when the wind comes, don't be surprised if the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls. And then the second group of people, those of you this morning who are in the storms, futilely. The tornado came, dark cloud, even lightning, thunder, heavy winds, of course, across Dallas County, across the black lands, the flat black lands of North Texas. Farmers were excited. Rain's coming, rain's coming, rain's coming. But no rain came. And one of these days, you'll do what they did. You'll put your head in your hands and say, I suffered all of that and never got the harvest. If you're going through the harvest, don't quit your job. Ask for a job. If you're going through the storm, don't quit your job. Sunday school class, ask for one. If you're going through the storm, don't quit your bus route. Ask for one. If you're going through the storm, don't quit your faithfulness to church. Increase your faithfulness to church. Now to those of you here this morning who never trusted Christ, you're really what it's all about. Oh, when that storm comes, I've seen Uncle Roy down in Central Texas. I've seen him weep for joy when the rains fell. Little 40-acre farm, he wouldn't eat if it didn't rain. I've seen Uncle Roy weep for joy. A godly man. I've seen him on his knees praying for rain. I've seen him when the rain came. I've seen him rejoice when the rain came. I've seen it. And I've seen him look at his cotton field and see that cotton unfolding like a cloud sprinkled across the ground. I've seen Uncle Harvey out with his truck bringing that, with his wagon bringing that cotton in. I've seen him taking it down to the cotton gin place. I've seen how joyful it is. Do you know why? Listen carefully, and I'm through. You know why this old man's been through the storms? For those of you who are not saved this morning, you're the harvest. You know why this church has been through the storms and the lightning and the thunder and the tornadoes? You know why? I'll tell you why. It's for you. We don't want you to go to hell. We want you to come to Christ and spend eternity in heaven. So this morning, if you're here, let me remind you, don't waste the storms we've endured. In a few moments, the choir's going to sing. We're going to stand. Those of you who've never trusted Christ, you don't know you're going to heaven when you die. Wherever you are in this building, I want you to leave your seat and come to the aisle that's nearest you. And down to the front, every aisle will have a man at the end of it, and that man can show you exactly how to go to heaven when you die. Hey, it's harvest time! And boy, when I see you walk down this aisle after a while, I'll say, man, it's worth every storm, every lightning flash, every roll of thunder, every tornadic wind, every hurricanic blast, it's worth it all because the harvest came. Give us harvest, O God. Give us a fruitful harvest. God in heaven says, they're not even thinking about that bright cloud. The lightning, the storms have to come with it. And so this morning, if you're going through the storms, smile real big and say, harvest can come. And if you're going through the storms, you see to it. Now, if it rained, that didn't mean Uncle Harvey would have a crop. He still had to work it. It didn't mean he would have a crop. It meant he could have a crop.
So if you're going through the storms today, God is not guaranteeing you a harvest. He's making it possible for you to have one. Our Heavenly Father,